yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, I'm Mo, and I'm proud to announce the award that I received as the number one supporter and lover of all things Spade in North America. Have you heard about that? Because I always use Spade as always the suit of cards I play. I dig up my backyard, never use a shovel when I can use a spade. I've Ace of Spades, favorite Motorhead song.
Yes.
You know, I've even had my dog spayed. So now that this is being covered and all that's worked out, let's move on to some wrestling.
There was actually an online petition to spay you.
Oh, that's... But I don't get laid anyway, so why worry about it?
I signed it twice. Mm. Let's get into it here and all that aside. We've got a couple things to look at here. The WWE draft. We just finished watching Raw mere moments ago, and here we go.
You're welcome.
We're going to run down, yes, very much, especially during a segment where
we sacrifice for you guys.
Involving Cole and JR.
Well, that only lasted an hour and 45 minutes this time.
That's true.
So a little less than the Cole and King match at Mania.
Ugh. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Michael Cole in the ring is no buys.
Is no buys. I'd rather watch a Vicky Guerrero in the ring.
Yes. So let's get right into it. The Raw opened up with a Battle Royal to get things underway. A Battle Royal for the first... draft pick.
Coming down to SmackDown's two remaining people were Kofi and The Big Show.
Yeah, and Mason Ryan and Evan Bourne were the last two. It ended up being Mason Ryan was the last. But there were some great spots with Kofi and Bourne together, which was kind of giving me hope. And I guess there's going to be a supplemental draft tomorrow at noon Eastern.
Yeah, both those guys would go, especially Bourne would be a supplemental draft type guy. But, but just because they have good chemistry and look like they can have a good wrestling match, doesn't mean that there's any chance of that WWE has any desire to put them in the ring together. So
that's true.
Let's not be silly here.
Well, we won't be, no. But, okay. Well, that ended up, that being said, the Monday Night Raw lost. SmackDown with Kofi and Big Show winning the Royal Rumble, or the Battle Royal, rather. And that brought John Cena to SmackDown.
Yeah, and I said to you immediately when it happened, I went, well, he's going to be drafted back before the end of the night.
Yeah.
And that was right.
And that ended up being
because
true.
As soon as it happened, well, actually, I thought, I said it already. I said it immediately. But I said, I really think it's going to happen when Orton ended up being drafted over there.
Well, and
because there's just no point in putting both of them on SmackDown.
Well, and I tweeted this to someone earlier today, was just, you know, with the build-up to Mania, with The Rock, I'm sorry, I mean, Raw's the A show, so they're not going to do that on SmackDown.
And I kind of suspect as we go along here, we'll be seeing these guys on both shows anyways. I think, and you know, the draft, this probably draft means less than any draft ever in history. So, I mean, we're going to continue to see everybody on both shows. But, I mean, as soon as it happened, I said it to you, and I kind of felt it because it's something they had never done before. And so,
right. They can pull this is a first.
Okay, this is a first type deal, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And then they've got their draft moment for WWE.com. Remember that time? And everybody
yeah,
will go,
exactly.
No,
exactly.
I don't remember that time.
No, nobody will remember this because nothing matters.
So they go to the backstage area. They've got SmackDown guys on one side, Raw guys on the other, all in the same room, not separated, just kind of looking at each other and waving back and forth. So, of course, the SmackDown guys were really excited to get
Yeah, they're turning,
out,
they're so, turning right? to the Raw guys and doing yeah. the You Can't See Me and stuff.
Yeah.
And it always brings to me a strange thing. If I'm a SmackDown guy, why am I sitting there going, shit, Cena's coming over.
Shit.
One more guy I have to... Shit! Well, that's what Kofi said. But why is it that they're not sitting there going, I'm pissed off now, I have more competition, I have to go through John Cena to be a champion.
Why would
you be happy to have a guy who's an alpha male, so to speak, come into the ring? It doesn't make any sense logically if you think about it.
No.
I'd always be the guy in the background going, oh, I don't want him. I'd be cheering against my company. I'd want less guys so I can move to the top of the card.
Yes. Well, yeah. Don't think about it, right?
No, exactly.
But, so we're moving on here to the next segment, which was R-Truth cutting... A wretched promo.
I don't think it was wretched. It was very long, and there was a couple of good moments, but he took too long to get to it, and he didn't know how to interact with the crowd, and he didn't know how to interact with the crowd, treat him as a heel and screaming what?
The crowd ate him alive.
I wouldn't go that far.
They ate, and you know what they did is they actually ate him alive in 2001 when... the what chant was new and original, and no one had ever seen nor heard from it in order to prepare. But he just seemed, the only time he got
going
was he was talking about little Jimmy there, and that guy, you can't, what's up? That part I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But the rest of it, I mean, he managed to eventually kind of get his point, but I don't know how long this thing went, 10, 15 minutes? And
a half hour, 45.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, I got the feeling Greg the Hammer Valentine was wondering if he was just getting warmed
almost
up.
Warmed up. Yeah. That's right. And Tito Santana was doing his stretches.
That's right.
But it was, you
Have
know.
Have you ever told that story?
No. Another show we will definitely
No, tell no. Do it right now. It's like a two-minute story. This is awesome.
That's right. We went to an independent wrestling event that, a few years ago that had Jim the Anvil Neidhart was on it, Tito Santana, Samoa Joe was on
Honky
it.
Tonk Man.
No, not on that one.
No, okay.
No, Hoggy was on another one that we went to. But anyway, Tito Santana was on the show.
Johnny Devine.
And I, Hotshot Johnny Devine was on the show. But I went to
Abdullah.
Get a, Abby against Hannibal.
Hannibal.
Devin Nicholson.
Apparently giving him
C. That's right, they had a cage match. But
actually,
anyway.
You know what, maybe we should save this, because that entire night has a lot of funny moments.
It does, but I'm going to go on and just talk quickly about Tito Santana. I got an autograph for him. I was just drunk. And I managed to get an autograph at the last minute from his last autograph signing, and he ended up getting counted out because he pulled a hamstring
like 37 seconds into the match.
And he did an interview afterwards where he said that he signed just probably one too many autographs and didn't get a chance to properly get warmed up. Well, folks, I was that last autograph.
That's
so,
right.
So,
he missed 6 months of ring action, so, and he put him out.
I put Tito Santana out of action.
He put him on the shelf.
So that is,
he's proud of it.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, hey, I'm...
Well, you didn't buy a luchador mask from him. When you did buy one and wear it later on.
Well,
but that
again,
was from a more logical person. You bought it, I believe, from... Who was that?
The Honky Tonk Man.
I bought a Mexican
wrestling mask from the Honky Tonk Man.
Because that's who I think of buy one from.
All right. Well, we're getting way off topic here.
Really
we're going to be
are.
Talking about R-Truth.
But this shit's more fun than Raw.
That's how boring the fucking R-Truth thing was. But what we wanted to do as well, and we put this out on our Twitter earlier...
I thought he was going to light up a cigarette at the end, but John Morrison hit him. I just want to say, I thought he was going to light up a cigarette, but we have phone calls from people who want to talk about what a bad influence he is to be smoking on television.
That's right. We put it out on our Twitter earlier, the phone number to call, and we've got a couple people on hold here. So I want to get to the first one, and they want to talk about the R-Truth and just about his smoking here, and whether that's a good idea. So, caller, you're on the air. All right. Well, thanks very much.
He had a good point. And so from now on, I won't smoke as a survivor.
Well,
and I hope that got through to... I know Truth usually listens to our show.
Yeah. So hopefully
Ron
Killings...
And he was planning to call in sometime as a guest, but I hope that got to him. And he stopped. Him and Randy Orton.
Yes. Well, and so that was...
Speaking of which, smokers...
Yes,
Randy Orton.
Speaking of smokers,
is he up next?
Not yet, no.
Okay.
We're moving on to... R-Truth, and of course you said John Morrison attacked him and blah, blah, blah. So that feud must continue.
Yeah. So I still think there's... I guess they did not announce that that's a four-way now. But I imagine Truth... I wouldn't be surprised if Truth comes out, causes Morrison to get pinned and moves to retain at Extreme Rules. Because this was the go-home show for Extreme Rules. I mean, luckily they really hammered home Extreme Rules because they didn't have anything else going on.
That's right. So what's your prediction for the domestic buy rate for this?
For Extreme Rules, my prediction for a domestic buy rate?
Mm-hmm.
65,000.
65. Okay, I'm going to say 85. But I'm thinking 85,000.
Because this was the go-home show,
yeah,
man.
Exactly, because this was the...
Because you
the
went off the air... What was the last image going off the air was a draft pick and Cena coming back. And how does that sell buys to the pay-per-view? It doesn't. Nothing created intrigue. The only angle which was destined to actually push a match at the pay-per-view was the Cole, King, Ross, Swagger, thing, and unfortunately, it sucked ass.
Well, you had a couple things. You had a CM Punk promo. You had a Cody Rhodes promo. You had the thing that sucked ass with JR and Cole. And I mean, Miz and John Cena were interacting, and
Cody
at the
Rhodes
end.
Promo was good.
Yeah, and we'll get there.
He's really
but,
good.
They're interacting at the end. So I mean, it did. You know, at least it was two of the three guys in your Raw main event ended the show. Not not an ideal situation, but. You know, it was better than going off the air with, say, Mark Henry and Christian, let's say.
Yeah.
So we'll get there. So R-Truth there. And then next was the debut of the name Karma.
Yes.
Awesome Kong, now going to be officially known as Karma. Karma is a bitch, of course.
I don't think they're going to use that. Looks more like what they're going to use is a playoff Karma, the middle word, harm.
That's right. You can't spell karma without harm.
Yeah, I think it looks like that's going to be more the gimmick.
And that's going to be,
but they
flicked the head off one of the Barbie dolls, and they zoomed up and actually, showed Awesome Kong this time. So it looks like her debut, I would assume, it would be next week.
Monday, most likely.
I would think so, because now, they've sort of said who she is, and it's time to, they've given her a name, and it's time to come. So
that's good stuff. I'm really looking forward to seeing her in there, and maybe liven up the division. There's only three or four women who I consider good workers within the WWE she could work with, but those three or four, they could have tremendous, tremendous stuff with them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, okay, well, let's have a look here. We've got let's go to another caller here quickly.
Open lines are the R-Truth. That's our subject of the night for our open lines. Don't bother calling in if you don't want to talk about it.
About R-Truth, yeah. So we've got another caller about R-Truth here. So, caller, you're on the air.
Let me tell you something. Nobody knows more about being cool than the Hitman. And let me tell you something. It is not cool to smoke. Be a survivor and don't smoke.
Okay. Thank you, caller. So that's
called, that was the,
that's
what
two
was
now.
His name? The Hitman?
It's, yeah, the Hitman.
So. It seems like so far the callers are lining up against the Truth smoking thing.
Yeah, Truth is 0 for
and
2
that
here.
Has me, that has me surprised.
It does, actually. I thought.
Yeah, and speaking of which, though, I mean, we should talk about it. I mean, he turned heel. We never even really hit it because, I mean, it just doesn't seem like two heel turns. But you know what? People have sometimes drawn money. It's been a big deal when people have turned sometimes. So let's talk about the big turn that happened. Maryse is now a face. Go.
Yes, Maryse and Yoshitatsu together. So,
well, you've talked enough about that. What happened else on Raw?
I was going to compare it to Kendo. What was his name? Suzuki.
Yeah.
And what was the French tickler guy's name? Rene Dupree. Right, the French Japanese connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here we go. We got another one.
Go ahead.
Anyway, so next was a shitty women's match that, and then they go to the draft pick, and it was interrupted by Michael Cole going to the back, and that it just came off very.
Even that took too long.
Well, it just came off very, too many people talking over
it. Layla gets pinned and a draft pick occurs, but nobody's thinking about the pin or the fact that it's a draft pick because this guy's talking. And I agree, he gets heel heat. You want him to. But their timing and their execution is really poor.
Well, it's a lot like this show. There was just so many people talking over each other.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
well, one person only has something worth saying.
That's right. So shut up so I can do it. So that brought Rey Mysterio to Raw. So what are your thoughts on Rey Mysterio going to Raw?
Well, I had said to you, we were going back and forth on who we thought were going to leave, and I had said, I'm sure Sin Cara is going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
He does end up leaving. And as soon as he came over, my first thought was, well, Sin Cara is definitely going then. And it's a better move. I think they want to have a Mexican superstar in each show.
Well,
to me, I would go, okay, if Sin Cara, wherever Sin Cara is where Rey Mysterio should be, it should be a tag team and working together, and that's what you should be doing.
Right.
But, Rey Mysterio, last time he was on, he did not...
He was a bomb, a flop.
I wouldn't call it a bomb, but it definitely didn't mean as much the ratings as he did when he's on SmackDown, where he's historically moved ratings. Cool. And SmackDown's been historically strong with the Latino audience. And they were hoping he could do that on Raw. I think there's still a good chance, though, that for Rey Mysterio here to have a good run, only because there's not a hell of a lot of guys at the top of the card on Raw. It's so thin, but like I said, I still think they should merge the rosters. But he could, he's definitely, I think, going to be challenging for the world title here. I could see him against Miz.
Actually, Miz looked really good against Rey Mysterio, so...
Yeah.
I do agree that you know, that should be in the cards here, but that was then followed by a great Cody Rhodes promo.
He just gets his character. He's just awesome in that character.
And it started off a little slow, I thought, but and I remember saying, you know, this is what a scripted Cody Rhodes promo sounds like. And then he just went off, and it was great.
Yeah.
As soon as he pulled off the hood and went off, it was really, really good. So
basically saying how he's gonna, you know, what he's gonna do to Ray and how he's gonna get even and leave him in a mask, an oxygen mask in the hospital, you know. And good stuff.
So, yeah, that was great stuff. And then,
I'm really high on Cody Rhodes right now. I'd like to see him. I think a year ago people were looking at The Miz and going, man, this guy could be in the main event in next year's WrestleMania. And some people were going, maybe yes, maybe no. Cody Rhodes is that guy I'm looking at right now. Cody Rhodes is the guy I'm looking at. 1 year from now, I'd love to see where he is. He's building in that way, the same way I saw Miz building.
He is that new Miz type figure that should rise.
Somebody
up,
you're going, right? Oh man, he's talking good, he's wrestling good, he's getting a new character over, he's moving up, and there is a spot for him right now.
I wouldn't say that. I'd speak proper English, but it would be you know, something that that I would look to Cody Rhodes for WrestleMania 30.
Yeah,
you know, 29.
Yeah,
29,
I could see 28's it.
Coming up. So
maybe even
28.
I could even see 28. Miz was 1 year faster than a lot of people thought. So
it's true.
So you never know. So, anyways, what else?
So now we had the next draft pick. I said I don't even remember the match, but what ended up happening was Randy Orton coming to SmackDown.
That's right.
And this is sort of what I tweeted it earlier.
Wasn't that last match for two draft picks, or was it just one?
Yeah, it could have been for two.
Yeah.
That could have been for two. Anyway, regardless, Randy Orton comes to SmackDown. No, because Ray went to Raw, so Randy Orton's now gone to SmackDown.
Okay,
so
that's right. Yeah.
So Randy Orton goes to SmackDown. That is what I think a lot of people had sort
Wasn't
of thought
that the
and
one
predicted,
where...
and that made sense to bring him over as a number one babyface. This also, you know, we looked at each other and we're kind of, you know, okay, well, I guess Cena comes back now.
Yeah.
At some point, through
either that or again, like I say, it doesn't matter. But I did say if they were both on that show, the happiest man in the world would have been the Booker, Michael P.S. Hayes. But it just makes no sense. You shouldn't have them on the same show anyways if they're both the number. And he was getting a really strong crowd reaction, face reaction. Orton was all night.
Well,
so
the
that
crowd,
was good.
The crowd actually was really good tonight the Royal Bank of Canada Center in Raleigh, North Carolina, or South Carolina. Sorry. And they were even, you know, they loved Cena. They were great with Orton. They were great with Rey Mysterio. They were just, they had a, you know, outside of burying R-Truth for his shitty cadence and being able to get the what's going.
He didn't know, like you say, he just didn't work around it.
No, exactly.
They tell their guys to do that cadence. That's what they're taught.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, though, when they start doing the what you want to do is either talk right over them. Or maybe you do what The Undertaker did one time. People are going, what to him? And he just said in the middle of his promo, oh, if you have sex with your mother, say what? And the crowd went, what? Mm-hmm. And he went, okay, now that that's over with. And they didn't say it again for the rest of the promo.
Yeah.
This is, I believe, it might even have been the Underbiker back then.
Well,
but the point is, though,
that
there is a way to turn the audience and get them to stop doing it.
Booger Red, you mean?
Booger Red.
Yes, okay. Yes. So let's hear it right before, because the next part up is the ungodly cold JR, and I put in quotes here.
You got a call, though.
Match,
right?
But we've got someone waiting,
let's get a new opinion.
Let's take the call here. So, sorry, caller. The topic, of course, again, R-Truth smoking. Caller, you're on the air.
You know, nobody likes partying more than the rocker, but the party's over when you start smoking. That's right, rocking and rolling, strutting and strolling doesn't include smoking. Be a survivor. Don't stop.
That's my favorite one.
Okay.
People should see that video. That call is great.
That call, it sounded like there were a couple of people actually on the line there.
Maybe speakerphone or?
Maybe, yeah.
Call?
Well, the speakerphone, I think, because the music was pretty loud in the background.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
turn your radios down before you call in.
Yeah.
Say that.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. We forgot. We did forget to say there's been a couple people with their radios up. But anyway, so we talked a little bit about this ungodly, awful Cole JR thing where, you know, there was a lot of Larry Zbysko-type stalling. Actually, Larry Zbysko looked like friggin' Rey Mysterio compared to Michael Cole and his stalling.
It really made you not want to see that fucking match on Sunday.
Well, that was what I was thinking. It's like, here, guys, this is the match, and, you know, the big tag match, and, you know, this is the preview to buy the pay-per-view, and it was just garbage.
It really was. It really was.
Literally, there was no redeeming quality that came out of this,
you know what? They should have had Cole like spray barbecue sauce in his face again and get it in his eye, because that happened before. Remember, he sprayed it and he accidentally got it in his eye. He had to go to the back and get it washed out.
That legitimately happened.
And I have been told by your mom when she gets sprayed accidentally in the eye by me that does hurt.
Yeah. Well, that's true, and it was probably the same kind of brown stuff. But anyway, so I don't know what the next match was, but this was a match that was for two draft picks, and Mark Henry ends up coming to
this
SmackDown.
This was actually worth talking about, because this is where Orton defeated Vanilla Midget.
Right. No, he's not a midget. He's a vanilla mid-card.
A vanilla mid-card. My mistake.
Yes.
Who was that? Who did he defeat for two draft picks?
Evan Bourne's older brother.
Yes. Dolph Ziggler.
Dolph Ziggler, who gets no entrance. Vicky doesn't get to say anything. She was there.
Yeah.
And they never even put the camera on her.
But
you know what? Yeah, they did.
But for half a second.
Randy Orton didn't even really get an entrance.
No, I guess.
So they were kind of cutting short on time here for this. But it brought Mark Henry to SmackDown, so it reunites Mark Henry with Michael P.S. Hayes.
Yeah, and that's great. So hopefully he'll say something and Henry will get a push.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Well, and I think Henry's going to get a push.
Actually, it looks like it, yeah.
There, but
we'll get to that.
Also, I
just want to say this about Ziggler. It's not just the new haircut. He actually does. He looks shorter, but he looks more muscled. The new haircut.
He looks like a baby face.
Yeah, he does look like a baby face. Like I say, he looks like Evan Bourne. He's a bigger version. But what gets me is it isn't just it's also they changed his tights. It's not just that they've cut his hair and it's brown now. They've also changed the tights and, yeah, it says a DZ on the end, but there's nothing really. Yeah.
DZ.
DZ?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm sorry, we're Canadian. Yeah, DZ. I was trying to be universal. But DZ.
Everybody else says Z.
Yeah, that's
except
true.
Except for 300 million people to the south.
That's true.
Let's speak the world here.
Let's speak the world here. Speaking of which, my point being that DZ, and how do we spell color? With a U or not?
Hmm? No.
No. Okay. Okay, just checking on things. But, you know, I mean, you look at the guys in the 80s, and you look at the outfits people had, the Savages and the Snake Roberts and the Brutus Beefcakes and the Rick Rude and Honky Tonk Man. And then you look at what Ziggler's wearing, and, you know, it looks like, I guess it's an athletic-looking outfit. But even the outfit itself, if you're not going to have something in your hair, you got to have something in your uniform that makes you stick out.
Outlaw.
It's just brown, and it's unless you're Steve Austin and the Bill Goldberg, as a general, that's not going to work. He needs something, and that a subject I want to talk to you someday is your favorite, actually, outfits from the 80s, but... because it was fantastic. But I really look at him and I think it's not just the hair.
You
got to have something else there.
You can co-host with Ryan Seacrest when you talk about the favorite outfits of the 80s.
Come on. You had your favorite.
Sin Cara also comes to SmackDown.
Yeah. He actually has an interesting outfit, but you notice he wasn't on the camera tonight. He didn't perform in any way.
He didn't come out at all, did he?
He didn't come out at all. He didn't perform.
You know what?
He didn't do anything.
Both Mark Henry and
Sin Cara. After being in the main event last week.
No, but both Mark Henry and Sin Cara were announced during the commercial break.
Yeah,
remember?
So they
came back from
long.
Commercial.
They're running long.
And they did that. So, and that's good. Sin Cara now on the tape show. And I think that's best for everyone.
I think
everyone.
We all know that is best. Yeah.
That's best for everyone involved here. Yeah. So we'll get to the next one, but we've got another caller on the line here, so let's get to the caller here. Caller, you're on the air.
Control my Hulkamaniacs that have stuck with me through the thick and thin. Train, said their prayers, and eat their vitamins. Be a survivor, man. Don't smoke; it's a joke.
You know what I gotta say? If Truth wants to still smoke after that, he's not a true American.
Not sure if R-Truth, yeah, was...
I mean, if that doesn't get you to stop...
Well, the thing with R-Truth, though, is what you have to realize is that he probably isn't a true American because we saw him a couple... they pointed it out last week on Raw, how he was sucking back on the water. Obviously, he hasn't been training or eating his vitamins.
That's true. So, but we do know that he is an American, at least, because when it's time to do a show in Canada, he isn't allowed to cross the border because of his criminal background.
That is true. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, but he was allowed into England.
Yes, Commonwealth country. He's allowed to go overseas.
Overseas, break, just not and, across and, the
and,
Canadian border.
And break an indoor smoking law, but
yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah.
The next one here, again, two draft picks. So we've got, it was Rey Mysterio won.
Rey Mysterio defeated Wade Barrett.
Wade Barrett, that's right. Yeah. And so that brought The Big Show, one of the tag team champions, that, as it stands right now, him and Kane, can go on any of the shows because they're the tag champions. But
now he can go on Raw, too.
But yes, now he can go on Raw, so he's not just... stuck on
so
SmackDown.
Kane is responsible for defending those titles solely by himself on SmackDown, and Show has to defend the title solely by himself on Raw. Is that how it's working?
I think Show could beat the Usos, though.
But then again, who the hell remembers that? You said to me there's tag champs. I'm like, no, it's the core. And you're like, no, they beat them. Again, who the hell cares? It's the U.S. Nobody came out with any titles tonight. Sheamus, when he came out for his match,
Barrett did.
Barrett wore his titles, but Sheamus didn't wear his titles. The tag titles weren't worn. I guess Miz had his title when he came out, but, I mean, that's the world title. People weren't bringing out their titles, and, I mean, maybe they're just... Maybe they're disbanding the tag titles now.
I think it was just Big Show.
Maybe.
He didn't come with that. Sheamus
didn't come out with his either.
I couldn't remember if he did or not.
He
I guess he didn't, no.
No.
So...
Now, he's the champion of the United States.
He is the heavyweight champion of the United States. So, Big Show to Raw. Alberto Del Rio also now to Raw.
Yeah, that one's very interesting.
So that one's interesting, and that brings us to, and I pointed this out during our main event, that and then John Cena in our main event, and it goes back to Raw, was the final draft pick. So Cena drafted
Henry turned heel and cost his team, his SmackDown team, which was Mark Henry, Christian, and John Cena, and they were taking on Punk, Miz
and Del Rio. Yeah.
And when Henry turned heel, it cost SmackDown to lose, and that allowed a draft pick, and John Cena came back. And I had mentioned to you, as I said, they could go back, or he's going to go back, and you're like, can they do that? Are they good? Do they do that? And then when they were scrolling through the different people, because it shows all the people on the roster flash really quickly on the screen, I mentioned to you at one point, I said, oh, John Cena's up there for SmackDown again. That means he's back in the field to play early in the night. And, it was. It was just a bait and switch. He's back, and that leaves Christian in an interesting spot. So why don't you point that out?
Well, that's what I said. Now, with Henry heel turning and Henry, clothesline Cena, so the Miz pin Christian confronts Henry, and he gets press slammed into the steps. And then when I was looking at it there earlier in the match, I'm thinking, as this happened, I'm thinking, okay, well, Cena's back on Raw. So now you've got Cena on Raw, Morrison on Raw, and Miz on Raw on the one.
Mm-hmm.
Title match, and then Del Rio, who's on Raw, and Christian on SmackDown for the SmackDown title. So Christian's the only one in all of that that's on the SmackDown brand right now. So whether that means anything, they've still got a tape tomorrow, so they still could add Brandy Orton, say, into the ladder match, although he still has that match with Punk, so
yeah.
Who knows. But you've got some ways to go there. But Christian right now is looking... decent.
Basically, there's two world titles. We can say that. There's five men competing for those world titles. Only one of them is on the SmackDown roster. So SmackDown is going to have the world championship. The only man who's on that roster must win that
right now.
And that's
yeah.
Christian. And that's Christian. The way it looks right now. And I was thinking, that's when you pointed that out to me, I'm like, that's cool. That's a good thing for him.
Yeah,
is there somebody on the line?
That is a good thing. Now, there is, too. It's a Miami area code. Now, I don't know if the Rocks...
So it's not Gold Dust, because that's a local area code.
That's just on 403, yeah.
We'll explain that to you when we talk about that night
in
Calgary.
So, okay, yeah, we've got another caller here. So, caller, you're on the air here.
Hey, man, nothing like a long pull of clean, fresh air.
Oh.
Your Chico's oil, man. Don't pollute your lungs with tobacco smoke.
Huh.
I agree with that. Smokers are losers. I mean, was that Razor Ramon?
And Scott Hall.
Scott Hall? Well, Scott he would Hall. Never pollute his body with anything.
He's straight edge.
Yeah.
So, yeah. He's excellent. So, well, no, that's definitely a good point. So,
yeah.
So that's really
So,
Monday
just,
night,
just give it a one last go. On who moved SmackDown?
Okay, so
one last rundown.
That we've got
instead
here
of going through the show,
is,
just give the
yeah. So we've got Cena goes to SmackDown and then back to Raw. We've got Rey Mysterio to Raw. Randy Orton goes to SmackDown. Mark Henry goes to SmackDown, now turned heel.
Mm-hmm.
Sin Cara goes to SmackDown, and Big Show on Raw and Alberto Del Rio on Raw as well. So. Okay. Really, at the end, and there's going to be a supplemental draft at noon Eastern tomorrow, and so
By my computer.
Oh, absolutely. You know, call your local cable company and make sure your internet is connected.
That's right.
That's the thing. I'm just running down a quick rundown here. That one, two. If we throw out the John Cena one, then we've got three people to Raw and three people to SmackDown. So you know, even Steven.
Steven.
So
yeah.
It's all
and,
right here. But
that can't be enough. That only three.
Hmm? Three and three. Yeah, because there were eight picks in total.
Okay, give it to me again. Then who was it? Sin Cara.
Three
Mark
to
Henry.
Sin Cara, Henry, and Randy Orton to SmackDown. Big Show, Del Rio, and Rey Mysterio to Raw. And then Cena.
I suppose that is almost even in terms of drawing power and popularity. So I suppose that's interesting. I don't know that that's going to make a huge difference either in who's going to be competing in the world titles. But I do think that you said one thing, that we had talked about how Christian is the only guy who has a chance to compete for a world title on SmackDown, but we also look at it and go, can you imagine them putting the title on Christian when Randy Orton is now there to be the lead babyface?
Well, who's their heel, though? Who's SmackDown's top heel?
Who's SmackDown's top heel now? Mark Henry? Like
Wade Barrett?
Cody Rhodes?
Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton.
Maybe they're going to pull the trigger on Christian turning heel to feud with. I mean, I would love to see Christian and Randy Orton work together. I think they could have really good matches and really good chemistry. But it's really difficult to say, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Well, we've got another caller on the line here, so let me just really quick. Hi, caller. You're on the air. Please state your name.
Hello, everyone. This is Rich Steamboat with a little reminder of good health. Everybody nowadays is conscious about breathing good, clean air. One of the ways is to quit smoking cigarettes. Remember, breathe that good, clean air and don't smoke.
Huh, all right.
All right. He said that with conviction.
Well, I think he meant it. He really meant it. So not too many people on R-Truth
bandwagon. No, I think that's only been one guy or two guys who've actually supported it so far.
Kind of stood up for him,
right there.
So that's, no, not really. But, that was the show here. The other thing that we managed to get as soon as Raw went off the air was we got Rickrolled by Steve Austin.
Yes. you put that link on our Twitter. People, if you have not seen Austin getting Rickrolled, just completely hammered. Greatest thing ever.
He's singing it. He's singing
it's
the song.
Awesome. It's so
it,
funny.
It's tremendous.
It's tremendous.
It really is something you have to.
I'll let you have a subject here. Why don't we go for a little bit longer, another few minutes?
We want to get a few more minutes here. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me just have a look here. We talked a little bit about R-Truth, so that's good here. I'm just running down my list. I want to talk about maybe is it. The exploitation of Edge, is this it for Edge? Is he gone now? Is he going to be at the pay-per-view, do you think? I'm looking, there's a Edge Farewell Tour t-shirt on WWEshop.com. I mean, he did the European tour, which is fine, but I mean, he really hasn't left yet.
Well, I haven't heard anything that he's going to be on tomorrow's SmackDown table, so that doesn't mean he isn't.
Right.
It's already starting to lessen some of the impact because, yeah, he's not going to wrestle anymore, but he seems to be on TV every single week still, and on SmackDown, and doing seven farewell, speeches every show. And I think it's just let him now. It's time, hopefully, that they'll let him off. But I'm not so sure. I mean, even if he isn't on tomorrow, is he not going to be on an Extreme Rules? I just think that they're sitting there thinking to themselves, and we've seen this many times. We saw this with John Cena when he was fired, or you know, and you could keep him off TV for just a couple weeks and try and build a comeback or build the anticipation in the audience. And they just don't have the belief or the confidence in other people in order to not put that person that they see as a star on TV.
Right.
So I think I am a little bit worried they're going to bring Edge back and he's going to be at Extreme Rules. It could be just as simple as playing or just as being there if Christian is winning the belt, or just to give him a pep talk in the background. But either way, you got to move on. Sometime you got to.
Well, you know? I think that's true, and I mean I hope he is gone.
It's like when your woman leaves you. I mean, you might not. It's going to hurt, but you know what? You got at some point in time, you got to move on.
I think you...
You can't just keep driving past her house.
I think you just have to... yeah, you said it. I mean, you do have to kind of move on, and that's it. And you know, well, you know, and that's fine. I mean, you know, let's just let him do maybe one more moment with Christian winning, and then,
well,
you know,
then
off in the sunset.
If he does, or maybe you just wait to, like you say, to the Royal Rumble, which is in Toronto,
mm-hmm.
and that one moment. But let's give it some time now.
Just depends on how the story is really going to play out. So. All right. Well, I'm going to pass it over to you for one more topic, I guess.
And well, you don't want to talk. I want to talk about my favorite. Who dressed in the 80s? I mean, people had far more character and personality in the way they were. I mean, my favorite ever. I mean, I love the Rick Rude. That was my favorite. Basically, Rick Rude would come out and he would have
the airbrushed
different airbrushed tights. And my all-time favorite was when he came out with he had a little thing with he used to come out and he would flirt with the women in the crowd. One time he flirted with the wrong woman. It was Jake Roberts' wife, and then he came out with Jake Roberts on his wife on his tights, and
Cheryl
that was my
Roberts,
favorite, Cheryl Roberts. But he was my favorite. But I mean, this just the flash and the sizzle of Randy Savage as well. I mean, those are the two that immediately stand out. You know, not many people nowadays. I mean, you saw Zack Ryder came out and he has flashy outfits, or just one leg
Ooh.
Cut off in a short type fashion, and one leg
it's
long.
It's different,
tight.
Right?
It's different, and it just gave him something. And I was like, okay, it's kind of lame. It it's a lame look, but it's cool because it's different.
It's just different, and I mean, and he's got the you know, he's got the purple and he's got the flashing colors, and yeah, I mean, Randy Savage had the good robes, and but
yeah, Randy Savage in the early 90s was probably even better than he was. Like, he had the robes, but when he started to have the tassels and some of the hypnotic stuff and the hacked. I mean, that look in the early 90s, that was my favorite from him. So.
See, I liked the 80s when it was, you know, you had Ric Flair and you had Macho Man Randy Savage. And just had the robes, very colorful robes that they came out. But then when they came out, when they took the robes off and it was time to wrestle, it was rather still a plain look.
Yeah,
but they still had enough flash.
But there was enough flash in
the
presentation.
Right? And I look at that, and I look at the other one is, I guess, Brutus Beefcake with his tasseled, you know, his.
But even someone like the Rockers would come out and they would have the tassels or the colorful tights,
mm-hmm.
and the Hart Foundation had their pink and black, right? Everybody seemed to have something. I mean, I'm looking at. I mean, even just a few years ago, the first time I saw Robert Roode come out in the robe that Terry Taylor used to have that he gave him.
Right.
It gave him a different look because okay, this is a really nice, cool robe, and it
mm-hmm.
looked different.
Yeah.
And it just spruced him up and made him look like a bigger star.
Well, it did. And he was cock of the walk.
He was.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
But, no, and I think, you know, you have it really got into that when you got into the Attitude Era, you kind of lost that, and you didn't have so much in terms of the colorful, you know, Kane had a mask, but you know, Rock and Austin, and you know, Mankind had his little mask there, but you know, the Outlaws didn't dress that much. Hunter didn't dress all that different. You know, Billy Gunn put the lips on his ass, and that was about it, right? Jericho didn't have, you know, too much in the way of
no.
Of the
Jericho
flash,
had
right?
pretty flashy tights.
Yeah.
Jericho's had flashy.
Nothing. But I'm telling
you, Billy Gunn's were flashy. I mean, come on. I mean, Road Dogg didn't, but Road Dogg's outfit was more to hide his poor physique.
Right.
Really, what he was doing, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
you know, it's one of those things. I've never really, I said, when you come out to the ring and you've got some of that, I never really, you know, it's a nice little piece of the package, but I never really, you know,
well,
to me,
look
it was,
at Cody Rhodes right now.
Guy.
Part of what makes his act good over is the fact that he comes out with this hood where he covers his face.
Exactly.
You know, and a little mask, right?
And I think
just
there's room
something.
For that.
Yeah, I mean, Dolph Ziggler can come out now. He can have a generic look when he's in the ring if he has something that gives him a little personality on the way to the ring.
I've seen
besides
him,
Vicky.
I've seen him wear these great, like, Terminator sunglasses. And in some pictures, and I think that's, you know, what he needs to be.
Well, it's like Bret Hart had his sunglasses, and Jim the Anvil Neidhart then had his little cap, his little pink cap. It doesn't seem like much, but it's just one of those things that.
And his fanny pack.
And his fanny pack. Yes. Yeah. Okay, go for your next subject. And by the way, was there anybody else that you liked? Did you like Jake Roberts or? RVD has had some airbrush stuff, too, that's been pretty cool over the years.
Yeah, RVD had some cool stuff. As I said, I never really, I mean, it was there and it was kind of neat, but never really paid too much attention to the flashiness of the outfits, because to me it was more the talking that entertained. I mean, they said it's part of the package.
Okay, go ahead.
There.
Give me another one, then.
Well, I also wanted to give a quick shout-out to a good friend of ours, Noah Torella, who is an indie worker trying to make it. And so he asked us to look at some of his one of his matches, some of his matches. He's got a website, noahterrella.com. It's noahterrella.com. Have a look. He, you know, if you're a booker, book him. You know, he's got a good.
He's got passion, absolutely.
He's got passion.
He's got
nice
passion
guy
for the business. You can tell.
You know, after the show we talked about a couple weeks ago about, you know, just trying what should guys do. Well, you know what? He's on the internet. He's trying to get himself noticed, and he's having a look. So, you know, a big shout out to him for a guy trying to make it, and let's hope he does.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so anyways, your next subject.
Next subject, how about the Best of Nitro 3-disc set that's set to come out in June? Four current TNA stars are on the cover.
Yeah. Who are the four current stars?
We got Flair, Sting, Hogan, and Bischoff.
Yeah. No Jeff Jarrett. I think that's very interesting. But
Jeff Jarrett and Vince Russo just didn't make it.
Cover. I wonder why. But you know what? I mean, yeah, there's four current TNA stars, and that's more than – I can't think of one current WWE star. Maybe Goldust, Dustin Rhodes you could have put on. You know, as far as guys who you can think of who were in WCW, who are on the – I'm just saying if they have four guys on the roster in
Booker?
TNA – Booker, but he's an announcer.
Okay. Well, Goldust is really an agent.
Well,
William Regal's really an announcer.
Yeah, so it's interesting that they have a much larger roster and more TV shows, but less guys. That said, if you look 2 years ago at the amount of guys who were in WCW and were old WCW guys compared to today TNA, it's not nearly as much because Nash is gone. At the time, they had both Rick and Scott Steiner.
Yeah.
You know, they had... Booker T there. They had, you know, basically it's still there, but I don't think that influence is as big and as bad as it once was.
No, because now they've taken the Hardys and Mr. Kennedy, and they're taking the WWF guys that didn't really get over.
But I mean, that's an improvement, at least theoretically.
In theory,
if they're used properly, I'd rather have Matt Hardy than Kevin Nash. I mean, you know. Both have their problems, but I'd rather have Matt Hardy than Kevin Nash.
Well, yes, because Matt Hardy eats grapes, and Kevin Nash eats them after they've been stomped.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Well, drinks them.
Drinks them, yes.
Yes. And stomped and fermented.
So just, to end this show, wanted to talk about, you'd put up a blog on this, is let's talk a little bit about Jay Lethal.
Yeah.
And his departure. From Total Nonstop Action Wrestling. Not too much is known about the really who or what or even why.
We hear fired, though.
But
we've heard the words fired.
We have heard that he's fired.
Yeah.
And so not Jay Lethal's doing.
And I put up a blog on it. The blog was called Lethal Blow for TNA's X Division. It's at wetalkwrestling@blogspot.com, not blogger.com. That's my error. Blogger's the host website, but WeTalkWrestling@blogspot.com. And the point that I was trying to make is that while he wasn't the biggest star, what he was is one of the holdovers from a good era of the X Division when it had some buzz to it, when Alex Shelley, when it had Petey Williams, when it had AJ Styles competing in it, when it had Samoa Joe competing in it.
When he feuded with Sanjay Dutt.
Well, Sanjay Dutt, and he had that horrible feud, and I made comparisons between Sanjay Dutt, that Sanjay Dutt, Jay Lethal feud that was terrible, and this Samoa Joe Pope, the Black
De Niro,
Pope,
yeah.
De Niro, yeah, this horrible feud. And just in the terms of execution and what it's done for people's career. But
was
he
it
also,
excellently executed?
Yeah, it was terribly executed.
Oh.
It was Russo-rific. But so Lethal is an athletic, young, charismatic, likable, talented man. Still very young. I think he's only like 25 now or 24. Like, he's still extremely young.
Right. Oh,
I don't know where there is for him to go. ROH, I suppose.
Yeah. Ring of Honor.
Because
they're back to Jersey All-Pro.
Yeah, or Japan, perhaps, if there's something there. WWE is not a good fit. And he had probably the best, maybe the best television segment with Ric Flair, doing a Ric Flair imitation.
Oh, well.
In the last couple of years, he loves wrestling. He's followed it his whole life. You could tell it. You could tell he's one of those guys I could sit down with and just over a coffee talk wrestling for about 4 or 5 hours with and talk about old stuff.
How would you have that coffee?
Yeah. Oh, Addy. So anyways.
But he was someone that they put over.
I'd have a machismo.
Yeah, exactly. Mochachismo. But what they've had him go over Ric Flair. They've had him go over Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle put him over clean for the X Division title and never got his win back on him.
No.
And Kurt Angle saw something in it. And there's something in him.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, he's got talent out the wazoo, and there's guys in WWE currently pushing to get him have a look at.
Yeah,
you know them to take a look at him, and hopefully that happens.
I remember about 3 or 4 years ago when he first showed up there, and people were talking about him. Dave Meltzer at the time compared him to Shelton Benjamin, saying he has that kind of ability and athletic ability. But unfortunately, people probably don't realize how much shorter and smaller he is than a Shelton Benjamin. And Benjamin wasn't considered extremely large for the company either. So that's kind of the worry. But I mean, I with him gone and the X Division is at an all time low. There's so few good workers there. I mean, you have your Daniels and your Styles, Samoa Joe, former champions, but these guys no longer compete in that division. It's an opening match. They don't know how to book it. Kazarian's the champion. He doesn't have any buzz. It's no longer what they can hold up as their thing that is their counter to WWE programming like it once was. Like, hey, we have this X Division. We do it different. This is awesome, and this is one of our flagpole things. And it's been a long time. So I would rather see them, if they're not going to do it well, it's kind of like, if I'm going to get pizza, I don't want to get shitty, cheap pizza just so I can eat a lot of it. I want to get good pizza and eat that. X Division is like that. If the X Division isn't going to be good, I don't want it at all.
And you eat a lot of pizza.
I've eaten more than one slice in my life.
And, the funny thing to me is that, you know, you get rid of Jay Lethal for reasons undisclosed. You're not using Desmond Wolfe. And there's all this talk about earlier this year about how that they're breaking up some of these tag teams because they want to make the X Division a focus again.
And they also said, Dixie said she's going to bring in some new talent to focus on the X Division. That happened being a bona fide success, what she's done so far with the zero people she's brought in.
Well, exactly. And I mean, well, Dixie, you know, she's one of the most talented wrestling minds in the history of the industry.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, when she's saying she's going to do something, you know, you can take that right to the bank.
Yeah.
And declare bankruptcy. But it's something that when I look at that, it was just funny because, we talk about the Bucks and you had all these guys and they're told, we're going to put an emphasis on the X Division, and it's like, okay, so you just fired Jay Lethal. And I don't understand how that works when I look at someone like you fire Jay Lethal. But
you mean before that, Sanjay Dutt went, right? Before that, Petey Williams went. Before that,
Christopher Daniels went. He's back now, but he's gone. He went.
The point is that there's been so many talented guys that have already let go.
Well, fucking point is that, and I mean, it's no offense to these guys that want to earn a living because it's fine, but what the fuck, you fired Jay Lethal and you've kept Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah. No,
what
it's terrible.
Fuck.
It's terrible.
Like, and I look at all these like Magnus and Rob Terry.
Yeah.
And these guys that are just, I mean, probably very nice people, but in the context of a professional
Scott
wrestling
Steiner
television
get
show,
a title
they're
smash.
Fucking useless.
Yeah.
You know what? Terrible. I don't know. Scott Steiner, Scott Steiner.
He's 48, though.
Yeah, but he's Scott Steiner.
No, he's 48.
And but fuck, I'd rather Scott Steiner than Rob Terry.
Yeah, well, I'd rather Rob, not Scott Steiner, Rob Terry, or Eric Young.
Well, yeah, it's fine, but I'm just saying, if you're going to keep someone, then I'm keeping Scott Steiner over Rob Terry.
Yeah, well, I keep Rob, tell you the truth, maybe Rob Steiner over
or Scott Steiner.
Or sorry, Scott Steiner over, I lost it now, but RVD, being a complete
good
disappointment,
point.
Right?
Good point.
And so, RVD's being an absolute disappointment.
Well, he has, because he never slammed Andre the Giant.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, Andre, he's not a star, Hogan told him in a promo on TV, because he never slammed a 700-pound giant.
I know. Well,
but I think we're just about ready to
let
it go.
We're just
about
out of time.
Take the phone. Call.
Okay, well, the call is going to, because we're screening the calls, and this guy actually doesn't want to talk about our truth like we'd asked, but he did say he had something, of all people, to say to Nick Hogan. So.
You maniac, I'm Hulk Hogan, and I yield to nobody. And when I'm wrestling in the ring, I yield to nobody. But when I'm on the road, I always yield to an emergency vehicle with its lights flashing and siren going. It's probably on its way to pick up the last dude who thought he could beat me in the ring. And take it from me, when I'm on the road, I never insist on the right-of-way. I can handle a 300-pound wrestler, but I'm no match for a 3,000-pound car, and neither are you.
Oh, all right.
That's true. Nick Hogan and John Graziano, only listened to that earlier. If they had had somebody to teach them these things.
Well, that's the thing. I mean,
there was nobody there, and that's a shame.
It really is. I mean, that is our, but what do you do? I mean, it's hindsight, right? I mean, if only, right?
Anyways, I'm just going to say real quickly, Addy also put up a great blog this week on building a new WWE mainstream star. The man he picked was Skip Sheffield. It's Addy's first new blog. And really, it was good stuff. So check that out too, and give us some feedback on that. Other than that, I also just want to say real quickly: a man walks into a bar, orders a half dozen beers. Bartender lays them up on the counter. Man drinks the first four beers in about 3 minutes, just pounds them back. Starts in the fifth beer, and the bartender says to him, "Hey, buddy, why are you drinking so fast?" Man puts down the fifth beer and goes, "Oh, you drink fast too. If you had what I have," picks up the last beer, starts drinking. The bartender says, "What do you have?" Man puts it down, and says, "About 75 cents." Anyways, OUT.
That was it, eh?
Yeah.
Wow. We're ending on that. Well, wetalkwrestling.podomatic.com is the website. Wetalkwrestling.blogspot.com, as Mo said, is our blog. We're on Twitter. Wetalkwrestling is the handle, so hit us up. It's also wetalkwrestling@aim.com. So we're going to hit some mailbag. We're a little bit past due in the mailbag, so we do apologize. And we'll hit those up next show. So just wanted to get those out of the way. But in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. So good night, folks.